interest in your prayers this morning as we come before you. I have a message on my heart that I'm satisfied the devil doesn't want you to hear. So pray hard, because he's good at distracting us. What's on my mind this morning is fighting the spiritual fight against Satan. The battle is raging, brethren. You know that. You know it as well as I do. The battle is raging. My question is, how much are we engaged in the battle against Satan? Are we on the sidelines? Are we too busy with other things? Or are we engaged in the battle? The Apostle Paul, I know he was encouraging a preacher, but that preacher is to take what Paul taught him and preach it to the congregation. And so the messages that Paul would, or the principles that Paul taught to Timothy were to be then taught to us. And Paul taught Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Now, he didn't say be fighting. He said fight the good fight of faith. There's a way to fight that fight. And there's a need for us to be fighting that fight. It has a lot to do with the kind of peace and joy and contentment that we can enjoy in this life. Because the battle is raging. It's touching all of our lives. And we need to be in the battle. But we don't need to try to do it on our own might, do we? In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now that's where our power comes from, in his might. And so as we think about this, then we realize that we need the blessings of the Lord. We need to be close to the Lord. We need to know what he has in his word to teach us, so that we can be engaged in this battle and equipped for it. Do you think that God has left out anything that we need in our fight against Satan? Hello? Okay. He hasn't. It's here. It's right here. This is how God speaks to us, to teach us. These are the lips of God today through his word, written word. And through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we have all that we need. Paul said also to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Throughly furnished. They're everything we need for good works in this life, which involves fighting against Satan. Everything we need. You know, today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, by the way. I can't think of a better quality of a godly father than knowing how to stand against Satan. To protect his family, to protect himself, to help encourage others in the church. I can't think of a better quality. Can you? Not just for the fathers, but for mothers as well, and the children as well. All of us need this instruction. And so what we find then is that we are exhorted to fight the good fight of faith. We know that the Word of God has all scripture will thoroughly furnish us unto all good works. But God's not going to do it for us. Now, there's a whole lot that he has done for us. And the greatest encouragement we have is to look to the cross. I just cheered my heart this morning as this was on my heart to preach. And so many of the songs that we sang this morning was speaking about the victory that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest encouragement we have every day. And we need to remember that every day. The cross, the victory that we have through. Now that's something he did for us. And he did it perfectly, and he did it completely, and we don't have to add to it. You couldn't add to it if you tried. But we need to fight the good fight of faith. And the next thing Paul said in that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is to lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. It's there for us. He's given it to us. We need to just do what we need to do to manifest it and to walk closely with our Lord. And so we remember the cross. Jesus said in John chapter 12, now is the prince of this world cast out. In other words, it was time for him to go to the cross. He was about to do that work. The greatest battle, you know, some people in other denominations, they scare folks to death about some battle of Armageddon that's coming in the near future. And all the nations are going to be gathered together. And God and his armies are going to come and fight. And there's going to be a tremendous warfare. Listen, that was already done on Calvary. That was already done on the cross. Jesus won that battle. You read in the book of Revelation, and there's so much figurative language there that it's just, I've been listening to preaching on Revelation all my life, and there's still just a lot of shrouded mystery about those symbols. If you lived in that day, it might have been a little clearer. But nevertheless, my point is this. The message of the book of Revelation is clear. As soon as Jesus came on the scene, the battle was over. His enemies were no match for him. They were immediately destroyed. Bless your hearts as we find when Jesus died upon the cross and shed his precious blood. We find that Paul would say in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Bless your hearts, Jesus has destroyed him that had the power of death. Now he still bothers us. He still bothers us. He's allowed to bother us for a little while still in this life. But he is a defeated enemy. He is defeated. And someday he's going to be totally separated from us. That's the greatest encouragement we have. To remember that Satan, his power is destroyed. Now, he's a formidable foe. He's been allowed to have a little time. But he knows his time is limited. And he's not lazy. He bothers me every day. How about you? And the closer you try to get to the Lord, the more you'll be able to see his bothering of you. It's just, it opens our eyes to it. And so we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's our greatest defense, in the power of his might. Do you know, in the Old Testament, there were many times when the children of Israel went to battle, or the enemy came against them, and they were scared. They were fearful. And God sometimes just delivered them without them lifting a finger. Don't you love to read about those stories? Don't you love to, I hesitate to call them stories, but there are true accounts of how God delivered his people in the past. Don't you know he's able to do that today? He is able to do that today. He is doing that today. He may have done that for you just yesterday or today, but he is able and he is doing it. We just need to be strong. We need to be close to the Lord, strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. God has given it. I've already quoted a number of things, but you remember when Jesus was tempted as he began his earthly ministry and how Jesus responded to the temptations of the devil. Right? How was that? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. And I would add to that appropriate portions of the word of the Lord. When Jesus responded to the devil, he quoted verses of scripture that directly addressed the issue. We already said that the Word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. If we need help in knowing how to live our life, if we need help in knowing how to handle a situation, if, you know, it may not be, you know, like we've used the illustration before, that, you know, you won't find instructions on how to change a flat tire in the Word of God, but you can find how you ought to act while you'd have to do it. You know, it teaches us in principle, and we can take the principle and apply it to circumstances, and God's Word is a thorough furnisher. If we feel like that we're lacking in areas of our life, this Word has the answers. Now, they're not all going to jump off the page. The first time it happens, you know, the first time that you have the need, the first time you open the Word and look for those answers, it's not going to happen. It's little by little, isn't it? That's why we need to read the Word. That's why we need to have the exposure to the Word every day we live, so that we can keep being reminded. We may have a great vast knowledge of what it says, but principles kind of slip our memory. You know, schedules get busy and things crowd into our mind, and if you haven't thought about something in a while, it has a way of kind of getting cloudy or maybe even buried under other things, doesn't it? Well, the Word of God's like that. But how wonderful it is when you stay in the Word of God, it all can stay as fresh with you. I've found that over the years. That when I have busy, get distracted or get busy and spend too much time doing other things, that some of these things start getting fuzzy. But when you stay in it on a regular basis, it all stays with you. It's like it's one congruent, which it is, one unified body of truth. God's Word. Know how we need it on a regular basis. And so, it's a thorough furnisher. And that's one of the ways that God has given to us to fight against Satan is, first of all, he's given us his Word. His Word to equip us so that we know it helps us expose Satan and his lies. It helps us to know what the truth is. It helps us to handle situations in life. It just helps us in so many ways. It adds to our peace. It adds to our joy and contentment as we live in this life. Not only has he given us his Word, but he's given us the preaching of his Word in the church. You know, I wonder if God knew that some of his folks just might not spend much time reading that Word. I suspect he knew. I know he knew. He's given us preaching. Not something different, but preaching of the Word. That's what preaching ought to be, is preaching the Word. Preach the Word, Paul said to Timothy. All right. So the preaching of his Word is another way that God has provided for us to help us in our battle against Satan's influence. And we need it. Need it on a regular basis. All right. Peter spoke about our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He goeth about seeking whom he may devour. All right? That's what the Word says. Now, can we trust that Word? Yes, absolutely. It's the faithful Word of God. So we can trust that what the Word says is what we might experience in this life. Some experience it sooner than others. Some experience it more than others. But whatever the case might be, the Word is faithful to tell us what life is like and what we're going to need. I want to turn to 1 Peter 5. I quoted part of that when Peter said, your adversary, this is 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, to be vigilant is to be on top of things, not to be lax, not to be lazy about it, but be vigilant. In other words, take matters into your hands. All right, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I take from that the reason that we need to be sober and vigilant is because Satan is vigilant. He's going to be busy trying to tempt God's people. He's going to be busy trying to get you distracted. All right, we'll get into his devices, Lord willing, in a little bit. But he's going to be busy about doing his job. All right? Listen to what Peter goes on to say. So he's going about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, get that. You're not going to be able to resist him in your own strength. I mean, he's powerful. He has powers. He's just not some mythical thing that's imaginary. No, he's powerful. And what he wants to do is devour your spiritual life, your family, your friends, your church, this nation, this world. He's busy. He has lots of accomplices. This flesh oftentimes is a willing accomplice to what he wants to do. Oh, how we need to be careful. How we need to be sober. Sober means clear thinking. You know, we could be wrapped up in the things of this world and not thinking about these things as we should. But we need to be clearly thinking. And reading the Word of God is what helps us to be sober-minded. Because we have our mind where it ought to be. All right? So he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The faith is this body of truth. The faith is God's truth. And we need to know that truth. We need to live that truth. We need to depend upon that. We need to stand upon that truth. Because that's how we resist steadfast in the faith. Because we're standing. We know the truth and we're standing on it. All right? He says, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter gave us that instruction in the Word of God to help us to understand what we're up against. Now, James, in James chapter 4, I won't turn to it and take time to read it, but the one point that James makes, in addition to what Peter was saying, is resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, I like that. That's what I want. But it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Problem is, sometimes we're not thinking like we should and we're not actively resisting the devil. We just let things come into our mind. We let things come and we don't shoo them away. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That doesn't mean he's going to stay away, but it gives you the strength in the Lord, in the power of his might. We can resist him and have some peace for a while. All right? So, the Word of God gives us instruction. All right? Paul, in writing, we mentioned preaching of the Word. So he's given us instruction in the Word. We also, God has given us the preaching of the Word to also help us in this battle. And I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians, this is a characteristic of the pastoral teaching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I just want to get several verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of the gospel, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. All right? One thing we have to realize, in their day, not everybody had a Bible. Okay? The Bible wasn't written then. Okay? They didn't have the blessing of the Word of God like we have today. Not everybody could read in that day. And so they were wholly dependent upon somebody teaching them. That's why there was such a heavy burden placed upon the teachers and why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees so much because they were the ones who were learned in the law. Okay? There's responsibility of what's taught. All right? So Paul said that preaching was to establish them and to comfort them concerning their faith. All right. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Oh, well, here's another way Satan works against us. Drawing our mind away from how we should be living. Drawing our mind away from the things of the world. And tempting us. And drawing us astray. Oh, how we need this word. How we need the influence of this word. How we need to be well equipped in this word so that we can fight this good fight of faith. Verse 10 in this chapter. Paul says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, what God gives in the new birth, that faith, it's not defective, but it needs to grow. It needs to mature. It needs the Word of God. It needs, you know, it's got everything that it needs. It's got the ability to hear. It's got the ability to feel. It's got the ability to see. But we need to grow. We need to grow in grace. That was Peter's parting words in 2 Peter. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Paul knew he'd had only a limited amount of time among the brethren at Thessalonica, and he wanted to see them again. He wanted to go back. He wanted to preach some more to them, and so that they would continue to be established and that their faith would be more mature. And that ought to be our goal every day, to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So instruction of the Word of God and then the preaching of the Word of God, all right? We also need a good knowledge of Satan's devices. Now, I don't really like to think so much about Satan. And I hope I'm not coming across too much with him. I'm preaching our help that we have against him. I mean, if you're going to battle, you need a knowledge of your enemy. You need to know what he's like. You need to know where he's vulnerable. You need to know all that we can. And the Word of God is a thorough furnisher to teach us. You go to John chapter 8, and Jesus is telling us he's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. Well, that's not anybody I want to have anything to do with. All right? But those temptations that come, bless your hearts, they're lies. They want to destroy us. That's what Satan is seeking to do. Devour us. And to give in to those temptations. And how do you know it's a temptation? Well, if you know the Word of God, then you know what's contrary to the Word of God. If you know the Lord says this is the way you need to walk and there's something pulling you aside, you need to say, wait a minute. That's a temptation. That's pulling me away from what the Lord would have me to do. See, the sooner you understand that, the sooner you make that choice, the better off you'll be. Because you start letting that temptation have a little time, and you start analyzing it, and the flesh starts getting in telling you how pleasing that would be, and all those kinds of things, and you have lost the battle. He's got you. Because that lust has conceived, and that brought forth more bringing forth more thoughts. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. What does Satan want to do? He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. And by tempting you and appealing to your flesh and showing you the glitter, he's pulling you aside. And if he can get your attention, and if you start following it, then he's got you hooked. The enticement. He's got you hooked. Oh, how we need the power of his might. We need the Word of God. We need to be reminded of the good and the right way. We need to be reminded of that which brings true joy and peace and contentment in this life. Because Satan wants to pull us aside, and he shows us something that the flesh would think is wonderful. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the direction it's going. So, these devices... In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul writes back to the church at Corinth, there's a man that's committed a grievous sin. He's repented. the church has forgiven him. Paul is saying, to whom you forgive, you've forgiven, I forgive. He's speaking about the importance of forgiveness. And he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. All right, when we don't do what God would have us to do, Satan gains an advantage. He's got something he can work on. He's got something he can dig into. He's got a place where he can start driving a wedge. He's a divider, okay? He's a divider of the brethren. That's his main desire, is to divide, to destroy the unity of God's people. If he can do that, then he's accomplished something. So if you see that division happening, then you realize Satan's there somewhere. He's there somewhere. You better start looking for him, because he's there. All right? So we're not, so Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Notice what he said. Lest Satan should get an advantage, for we're not ignorant. In other words, this battle rages primarily in our mind and in our heart. That's where the battle rages most and foremost. That's why Proverbs over and over and over tells us to guard our heart, protect our heart, keep it from the things of the flesh. Because when we don't, then we start making poor choices. We start going in the wrong direction. That's why we have to guard our mind and guard our heart, guard our eyes, guard our ears, guard these lips. Oh, so many times the flesh pops out so quickly. We're not ignorant. We shouldn't be. Sometimes we are. We should not be ignorant. If we're reading the Word of God, if we're studying the Word of God, if it's our desire to know what the Word of God says, then we're not as ignorant of Satan's devices as we might be otherwise. Because the Word of God exposes Satan. It exposes his lies. It gives us the truth. You know, the illustration we used before about the agents that try to identify counterfeit money, okay? They don't study all the variations. They study the original. Because if they know what the original looks like, they can spot the counterfeit. Well, that's the way we need to be with the Word of God. If we know the Word of God, then Satan's going to come along with a counterfeit. And we need to be able to recognize the counterfeit. We need to be able to recognize the lie. We need to be able to recognize the deception. We need to be able to recognize when it's not going God's way. And I understand there's times when we really struggle to know God's will. But if we're close to the Word of God, we've got the leadership of His Holy Spirit. We've got His Word to guide us. If we're close to God, and bless your hearts, that struggle is not as bad as it could be. Because we've got the help of God's Word and we've got the leadership of His Holy Spirit. The leadership of the Holy Spirit, and we're following it. You see, if we're seeking God's will and if we're following the leadership of God's Spirit, then we've got more help. All right, in making those choices. So, His devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of His devices. God's Word and the preaching of His Word should help us in recognizing Satan's devices. All right? Satan's subtle. You know, when we're first introduced to him in Genesis chapter 3, it says the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. That's the devil. And the law of first occurrence in Bible study, you know, one of those principles of Bible study, the first time you find something mentioned in the scripture, it's usually going to follow that same meaning throughout. So he's still the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. He's subtle. He's cunning. We mentioned a moment ago from John chapter 8, he's a liar, a murderer, deceiver, all those kinds of things. And he delights to stir up envy and strife and division. He delights in doing that. And in James chapter 3, when James is talking about two kinds of wisdom, that kind which is above, he said, as far as this strife, bitter envying and strife, he said, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That tells you where it came from. The devil. He delights in doing that. That's part of his devices. That's part of his ways. All right? So we need to be we're not to be ignorant of those devices. All right? He uses offenses. He uses false doctrine. All right? Sometimes false doctrine gets in among us, doesn't it? Our best defense of that is to know the Word of God so that we can steer clear of false doctrine. I won't get into that. There's endless varieties of false doctrine. But bless your hearts, we want to know the truth. We want to follow the truth. We want to live the truth. We want to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. And the leadership of His Spirit and His Word helps us to stay in that. Sometimes those devices appear as legalism, Phariseeism, pride, all these kinds of things. God's people can be given to that. We have to guard against it, don't we? We have to guard against those things. God's Word. Keep coming back to that because it's so important. God's Word exposes these devices of Satan. God's Word helps us to see the error. God's Word helps us to understand how Satan is trying to use those things to divide us and to gain an advantage over us. So we need to be mindful of that. And we need to be equipped in our defense and to be strong in the power of His might. Something else we have is God's promises. If God has made us a promise, bless your hearts, He is faithful and He is able to fulfill it. I'm sure we've all had situations where we've made promises and some little something came up and we couldn't fulfill the promise. And you've heard and you felt the tug on your heart when somebody said, "But you promised." And we had to realize we're just limited. We may have had the best of intentions, but we didn't have omnipotence. God is able to supply all that we need. He is able to keep His promise. All right? Look in 1 John chapter 5, two verses here, verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Why doesn't the Word of God say whosoever? We're talking about people, aren't we? Why didn't it say whosoever is born of God? Well, I've heard a lot of explanations. Here's mine. When someone's born of God, he's not what he used to be. He's more than he used to be. God is living in him, dwelling in him, and empowering in him. He has a power, he has a faith that's not of himself. And so it's not just him. It's not just the who. It's what? It's the who and God with him, all right? So he says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We don't overcome the world. We don't have the ability to overcome the world. But God in us, we do, all right? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, it's called our faith, but it's what God gave us. It's the faith of God's elect. It's the faith that God gave us. And bless your hearts, we need to be using that, don't we? When we don't use that faith, that's when we're in trouble. We need to be using what God's put within us so that we can honor Him, bring glory to His name, and be a blessing and positive impact in the kingdom of God. We need to walk by faith. We need to live by faith. We need to make choices by faith. Faith. It's what God has given us. It's His word that describes it. It's His Holy Spirit that agrees with it. We need that, all right, to overcome the influences of this world. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God this morning? I don't mean just this morning. I mean this morning. Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you know the only way you can sincerely say that is because you are born of God? You are born of the Spirit. You are one of His children. Those promises apply to you. The hope of heaven is yours because of what God has done for you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He sent His Son to save you. He keeps us each day. He's made some promises to us. And He is able to keep those promises.
Amen.
All right? Not only do we have His promises, we have His protection. His protection. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I tell you, there's been times in my life where the Lord has steered me in another direction than I would have gone. Or He's hindered me from doing something or whatever. And after a while, I was able to see that it was of the Lord's mercy. I'm so thankful that He watches over us and He protects us. I'm so thankful for the protection that we have from Him. You know, let's see, same chapter here, 1 John chapter 5. Let's drop down to verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, we got to explain that one, don't we? Because we do sin, all right? But there's something in us that doesn't sin. That new creature in Christ doesn't sin. That which God has planted within us does not. And it's there to help us, all right? We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In other words, our sins have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no one that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It's not going to stick, okay? Now, as a matter of conscience, we come short every day, and we need to confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That helps our conscience. But it's because we know that Jesus has put away our sin. We know that. It's in us. We know that, all right? By faith, we know that. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. That word toucheth in the original language has the idea of touching in order to change. To have an influence and to change. You know, when Jesus, during His ministry, when Satan tempted Him, Satan had no effect on Him whatsoever. And what we have in Christ cannot be changed. Because He touches him not with that intent of changing. He can't change us. Now, He can bother us. He can do those kind of things. But it's like Job's experience. Remember? God put a limitation on what Satan could do to Job. He created a lot of problem for Job, but he couldn't take his life. And it didn't change Job. Job was still, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right? Satan thought he could change Job by touching him in that way. But God put a limitation on how he could touch Job. And he's put a limitation on how he can touch us. We are safe in the blood of Jesus Christ. There could be those that could destroy our life here in this life. But if they do, we'll just awaken the presence of God to rejoice in him forevermore. With all the redeemed family of God. That's our promise that he's given us. That's the protection that we have. All right, but not only that, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed. Running out of time, I won't take time. John 17, that's the prayer that Jesus made. And he said, I pray not for them only. He's praying for his disciples that he would keep them. Okay, you have to read the chapter. I don't remember the verses right now. And that he would keep, Jesus prayed that that God would keep those disciples that he had given him. But he said, I pray not only for them, but all them that should believe on me through their word. Bless your hearts. That promise, that tells us that he prayed for us. All down through time. Those that are able to believe in him. They're his people. They're born of his spirit. They have the new creature in Christ in them. Bless your hearts. He prayed for us. He prayed for us then. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, there to make intercession for us. Romans chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 7, both of those places. And Hebrews 7 says that he ever liveth to make intercession. Bless your hearts. He's going to be there making intercession for us as long as this world stands. He's there making intercession for us. Wow. There's more that we could say about that, but let's move on. He's protection. Also, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Jude chapter 1, verse 1 says that we're preserved in Jesus Christ. All right? We're protected. That's better protection than an insurance company can give you. That's eternal protection. That's safety. That's eternal security that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a help in our battle against Satan. 1 John 4, 4. Okay? That's where you'll find greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know who that is in the world. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that he goes with us wherever we go? Now, in our mind, we can leave him. We can go our own way in our mind, in our heart. But he's there with us. He's there with us. And we can have as much of him as we want. We can be as close to him as we want. How much do you want? How close do you want to be? It's available to God's children for our protection, so that we could be strong in the power of his might and be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. By the way, when I was talking about devices, we're not ignorant of his devices. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul used the word wiles, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. He's talking about the same thing, the wiles of Satan, his devices, the ways that he bothers us, the way he gets in between God's people and God, the way he troubles us in this life, the wiles of Satan. We need this word to expose that. We need to learn what that is so that we can avoid that. All right? So he gives us the indwelling of his Holy Spirit to help us in this battle. All right? Spiritual armor. He gives us armor. All the things that I've been talking about already really describe to us this armor. We have protection from the Lord because of the righteousness of Christ. It's imputed to us. The breastplate of righteousness. We have the shield of faith. Now that's one where because of Christ's faith, we're made whole. But he gives us faith to help us to walk in this life. And we need to hold up that shield of faith. Because if we don't hold up that shield of faith, we can be hit by those fiery darts of the wicked. But when we're holding up that shield of faith, it'll quench those fiery darts. Because our satisfaction is in the Lord. We're trusting in Him and trying to stand in the power of His might and not our own. And we've got all that armor. We got the truth. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the helmet of salvation. We got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And probably left out something, but you know the armor of God. Go read it if you've forgotten what it is in Ephesians chapter 6. But I'm telling you, we have it in Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our protection. We need to remember Him. We need to look to Him and trust in Him every day for the help that we need. All right. There's one more thing. Paul said in this armor, praying. And I want to talk about our prayer life. How's your prayer life? How is it? It's important. It's how we get strong in the Lord. Through reading His word and through prayer. How is it? He has a lot to say. I'm going to turn to it. Ephesians 6. And as we read this now, listen for the little word all. You'll find it three times in verse 18. I think it's 18. All three times. But listen. And we're talking about your prayer life. Now, we're talking about what God has given us. God has given us this privilege of prayer. To talk to Him. To communicate with Him. And for Him to talk to us. You believe that? Absolutely. Prayer's not just talking to God. He gives us impressions of the heart. I don't ever hear the audible sound of Him responding to anything I ask for, but I sure do get a lot of impressions of the heart. The leading of the mind into things that directions I need to go or those kind of things. All right? Prayers, communicating with God. And there's all kinds of, there's a variety of prayer, and he touches on that here. Verse 18, Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. All right? There's different kinds of prayers, aren't there? Sometimes we're asking the Lord bless somebody, they're in trouble. Sometimes we're thanking God. Sometimes we're asking for ourselves, for wisdom and strength to avoid things. There's just a variety of ways. And so this, first of all, talks about praying always with all prayer, a variety of ways, and supplication in the Spirit. Proper praying needs to be in the Spirit. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean that what you're praying, you're in agreement with saying, "Thy will be done, and not mine." See, that's the only way prayer is acceptable. Because we don't know everything. Oh, we think we know. But we don't. We know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. Okay? Romans 8. So when we think about praying in the Spirit, it's a submissiveness in our praying to say, "Lord, this is the burden of my heart, but not my will, but thine be done." How often are we guilty of praying my will, and "Lord, bless it"? That's where a lot of praying happens. But the prayers that He hears are humble and submissive to His will. His will. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That tells us that we need to be circumspect in our thinking. We not have tunnel vision and just gimme, gimme, gimme. But we need to be praying for the needs of others. We need to be praying for the welfare of the church and our families and our friends and our acquaintances and whatever the need might be. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. There's some diligence here. Some diligence. I'm thankful that we're preserved in Christ Jesus, but we're exhorted to be to persevere. Okay, to be diligent, giving all diligence, you know, as Jude wrote. Watching there with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are you just praying for your family? Are you praying for all saints? You know, are we discriminatory in our praying? Do we just have the blinders on and we're thinking about ourselves? Or are we praying for all saints? We don't even know who all the saints are. That's why we have to say, thy will, not mine. That's why we just need to pray, Lord, bless your people, wherever they might be. 1 John chapter 5, we were in that a little bit. He talks about if we're born of God, then we love God and we love those that are begotten of him. Wherever they might be. They might be in Africa. They might be in the Philippines. They might be in India. They might be next door. They might be in the church. Praying for all saints. It's needful. It's liberating when we open up our heart and pray the way God would have us to pray. In the Spirit. For all saints. With perseverance. Watching. With supplication and all kinds of prayer. All right? For all saints. Also, in the model prayer, didn't Jesus say that we're to pray? And by the way, when you read the context there, the indication is that we're to pray this every day. After this manner, pray ye. Not necessarily that you have to say those words every day, but speak the principles every day. Part of what I'm after right now is he says, lead us not into temptation. He knew it was important enough for us to have to pray that every day, to remind ourselves every day that we need to ask the Lord for his help to lead us not into temptation. And the other half of that is, and deliver us from evil. We need help in both of that, don't we? To deliver us from evil. Oh, the Lord in his wisdom knew exactly what we needed. He put it in his word. It's there for us to equip us, to expose Satan's lies, to expose Satan's devices. We just need to avail ourselves to it on a regular basis and remind ourselves of it and then give ourselves to prayer. Oh, preacher, that takes too much time. If you don't have time for prayer, you're too busy. Period. If you don't have time for prayer, prayer is one of the most powerful things and privileges that God has given us as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be empowered by his Spirit to do his will if we're not spending time in prayer? I'll let you answer that question. It's needful. Maybe that's why our churches are losing influence in our country today. Because the power is just not there. Oh, may God help us to understand there is a battle raging. We can't fight it in our own strength. We need to fight it in the help of the Lord. Be strong in the power of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, power of his might. I'm not getting that exactly right for right now, but you know what I'm talking about. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? That's what we need. We need it every day. There's not a day you've lived that you didn't need that. There may have been a time when you didn't realize it, but there's not a day that we live that we don't need help against Satan's devices. He's diligent. He perseveres, but he's only got a little time. Bless your hearts, but we've got help. We've got all the help we need in the Lord. And where I started, look to the cross. That's where I'm going to finish. that sweet hope that we have because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And when I talk about hope, I'm not talking about a wish, am I? So many people criticize Primitive Baptists because of them speaking about our hope. Well, maybe it's the way they were speaking about it. I don't know. But I'm telling you, our hope, the reason we have a hope in us is because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Bless your heart, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we believe in heaven, if we believe there's a God, if we believe he sent his son to this world, which, by the way, they tell me that there's more concrete evidence and more facts recorded about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ than all the Caesars of Rome. So why would anybody doubt the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ? They may not believe him in as a disciple, but he certainly was a man. He did live, and we have a record of what he did. But bless your hearts, God's people have a hope, and they understand by faith, they understand that he is the Son of God, that he came to this world to do the will of God, that he finished the will of God, that he finished the work the Father sent him to do. He raised him from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's coming back to get us someday, to take us home to be with him. That's our hope. And it's not based on anything about us. It's in a faithful and all-powerful God who is able to do what he's promised. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is our hope. And we rejoice in that hope, and we need to remember that hope every day we live as we stand in the power of God's might to face the battle and to be engaged to keep Satan's influence out of our lives. May God bless you is our prayer.